At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on a Monday morning, and we will have our South Coast Health Community Spotlight coming up in just a little bit. But right now, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Billy Saffield.
How you doing?
Good. Just keep looking at that plaque you got in your office when people get you upset.
I definitely feel that way sometimes, for sure. I won't say on the air what it says, though.
I know. Why I called in, the news just said something that hit a bone in my body about the mayor of Taunton's got to go to court after she asked the judge to dismiss her case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, see the difference of the courts in Taunton and out of New Bedford? I had a case. I filed the case in district court, but Councilor Morad attacking me. They dismissed it the next day without a hearing. At least they're getting a hearing out there. What's going on between the two cities? The mayor's going to court for doing what she did. But I can't go to court. They dismissed it without giving me a hearing. That's kind of funny.
What happened to you is not the same as what happened between the O'Connells.
Wait a minute. I understand that. I know the thing. But if you look at the video, I walked away from her. I went behind the chief, and I went to the other side. She followed me across. Now, she's the one that's the aggressor now, if you look at it. You look at the video, I walked behind the chief to get away from Mrs. Morad. All right? She followed me. That's harassment, and she's attacking me. That should have been at least get a hearing. Just get a hearing to dismiss her without, and it's on video, and the chief of police was there and a witness, and so was some city councilors that were put on there. So there's a difference in the court systems around. It's who you know around here. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Have a good day. I'm going to just disagree with Gilly on that. I don't think it has anything to do with who you know. I think it's an issue of domestic violence versus a complaint that was warranted, not necessary to have a hearing. That's the difference. And police were called. Police were responding to what happened in the O'Connell house. Also, I think that you've got someone who I don't know what the O'Connell's history is of being involved in any kind of domestic incidents before. This is the first I've heard of one. I know there were issues with their daughter running away before, but that's the only other thing I heard about their home life. Whereas most people know that, you know, Gillies has an ongoing saga with the city council, so I'm sure that plays into it as well. Anyway, 508-996-0500. From all accounts, the first few days, the first day of early voting on Saturday in New Bedford was a great turnout. I talked to somebody who was actually there right early in the morning to vote. I saw her probably about 11 a.m. And she said that she was there pretty much early on. I don't know if she was there like as the doors opened, but I would guess within the first hour or so, and said that it was very busy. So that's a good sign. I mean, granted, of course, it is the first day, so people want to get it done, get it out of the way, especially where it's on a Saturday. But it's going until the 1st, through the 1st, so we'll see if that's a steady stream of people throughout the entirety of the next couple of weeks. But it is a good sign if people are getting out there and early voting. Hopefully that means we'll have a big voter turnout. It also could mean that all the people who are interested come out and vote early. And then on election day, people won't be as interested and the numbers won't be as big. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think we're going to have a huge turnout. I don't want to make any predictions because New Bedford has been historically low numbers in recent elections, even presidential ones. But I think you will see bigger than you saw in 2020. Bigger than you saw even in 2016. And we'll see if that's a trend that continues. Because are people invested in this election because of the personalities and circumstances involved? Will they stay as interested? I was having this conversation with Chris McCarthy between our shows on Friday, where I said that, you know, the problem this time around is you've got a lot of people for both Trump and for Harris who have never paid attention to presidential politics and don't know anything about it. And they've just decided that they're either on board because they like Donald Trump and don't like Kamala Harris, or they like Kamala Harris and don't like Donald Trump, or any combination thereof. So that's the concern I would have when you see these big, big numbers, but then those people don't remain interested when they don't have the same cast of characters involved or the same issues involved in the next presidential election. But hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully what we're doing is we're empowering more people to feel like their vote actually does count. Because we heard way too many people who said for years, well, you know, I don't bother voting because it doesn't make a difference, my one vote. But you see how close the last few elections have been, and it makes a difference. So if you don't get out there and vote early, you know, make sure you have your plan in place on November 5th. Whether that be needing to find out where it is that you go to vote, whether it be arranging for transportation to be able to bring you to vote, make sure you have a plan in place. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Just dealing with pain, So what you just said about people just not being involved until now, that's me. I called in on a Saturday and was talking to Brian. And we were talking about what I needed to know, like, about registering to vote. Because I voted, but I couldn't remember how long ago and if it was here or New Jersey. But it was in New Jersey. And it was back when Bill Clinton, I voted for him to get in. And then he did his 8 years. That's the last time I ever voted, because then after that, I did move here. And everybody around me in my life then, my friends, everybody, my whole circle of life, nobody was talking politics. Nobody was even, it wasn't a part of my life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was there, but it just wasn't. I was just being young in my 30s, you know, early 30s and stuff like that. And then as, you know, you get a little older and, of course, demographics, things change. And then you become more and more aware of the politics. But the conversation you and Chris were having between the shows is exactly the conversation I've been having with a lot of people, too. It's like people are more aware now from when Trump got in the first time. people are so much more aware. And yeah, so it's like, I gotta vote. I gotta register to, you know, to vote for a president. And I hate to say this, but I'm gonna vote for Trump. I figure it's only 4 years. His policies, it's the only reason why. I hate his rhetoric. I hate his, you know, everything about that, but I'm not voting for his personality. I just let the 4 years come and let the 4 years go. If he doesn't serve it all out because of whatever health issues or something, then Vance will be there. Vance will be a whole different situation when the 4 years are up. But for now, and it's nothing against Kamala at all. I mean, she's a highly intelligent person. She's got a great background. But I just, for policy reasons and with the war and stuff like that, I got to go for Trump. I know that's probably crushing you, and I don't want to do that to you.
No, you can vote for whoever you want.
Yeah, exactly. It's just what I got to do. But yeah, it's true. I think so many more people are just so more engaged this time around.
But will they stay engaged? That's the question.
Right. Exactly.
And yeah. my guess is not. My guess is, you know, after the Trump phenomenon is over, whether it be the people who are for him or the people who just are anybody but him, you'll start to see a lot of those people kind of fade back into the background. And while they still may vote, they just might not be as vocal or as active in supporting a candidate.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. And that's exactly how I've been sitting and thinking about it. Exactly the same way. So I got to go out today and register. I'm just glad. I've been dealing with so much pain from a procedure I had on Thursday. Things went wrong. So,
well, I can tell you, yeah. I can tell you registering to vote will not bring you any extra pain. It's quick and easy.
Yeah, it's quick and easy. And just standing in the line, because as soon as I registered, that was another thing I asked Brian, do you have to wait so many hours for it to show up that you registered? Or,
so
he said no.
It does take, so they do have to put it into the system. But if you go over there and tell them, hey, I'm going to vote right after this, they'll make sure that they get it in there for you.
Good. Yeah, so that's what I'll be doing. Is it at the library?
Yep, 8 to 4.
8 to 4. Can you register at the library as well?
No, but that's right across the street at City Hall. So you go in, walk into City Hall. When you walk in, take a right, go down that hallway, and then take another right, and you'll see the Election Commission office right there.
All right, cool.
And there'll be somebody there to direct you when you walk in.
Yeah, so that's that. So I'm glad you had a great weekend. I really wanted to go out. The weather was fantastic.
Well,
but I'm good.
You got a good day today to get out and do things. So.
Exactly. That's what I'm just saying. The weather's on my side today. So.
Well, enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you, Tim, so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And 508-996-0500. It is super easy to register to vote if you've never done it before, or if you need to update your information or any of that. Very quick, very easy. And then when you go to early vote, that's pretty easy as well. It's a little bit different than going to vote on election day. So if you've never early voted, you still walk in and you check in just like you do any other time. But then when you check in, they're going to give you an envelope. And you put your information on that envelope. Then you will go in and get a ballot from somebody. They will give you the ballot. You will go and they'll check your name on your envelope. Then you will go and go into the booth, go over to the table, whatever it is, you know, that you want to call where you vote. And then after you're done filling out your ballot, you fold it up, you put it into the envelope, then you walk over to the police officer who is collecting the ballots, you don't even have to lick the envelope. It has one of those removable sticky things, so you don't have to actually lick it. So you remove the sticky thing, seal the envelope, and make sure that you have signed and dated the envelope, I don't know if you have to date it, I don't remember, but you sign it. And then I think you sign it and print your name. And then you hand that to the police officer who then collects it with all the other ballots. And then it is kept secure, locked up in the elections office until election day. That's when they're allowed to start counting them. And then you'll see that that process is so quick and easy, you'll say, I'm going to early vote every time. There's still something to be said for going out on election day and being around the other people who are out there and excited to vote. Sometimes when you're early voting, depending on where you are and what day of the week it is and what time it is, you know, you might be the only person that walks in the whole time you're there. But it might also be just as busy as it would have been on election day, such as Saturday was. So you can still get kind of that same buzz about it. But for me, early voting is great because I never know what election day is going to bring. Don't know what I'm going to have to cover, what I'm going to have to go out and do. And also, I can divest myself from the feeling of voting and the need for voting and all of that on that day and just be an objective observer to what's going on. So I can go and visit the precincts and say, okay, now I'm seeing what's going on from a journalist's standpoint instead of as the person trying to go in and vote. Because it's one thing, you know, if you're going to vote and there's a long line and you've got to wait, you might get a little bit more ticked off because you set aside time to do this and it's taking longer than you planned. But if you're going there to cover it and you see a long line, you say, wow, this is great. So it's a little bit of a difference. I'll never forget waiting in line, I think for like about an hour or so, at the Wareham Library to vote in the 2000 presidential election. I went with my parents. And it was a long, long line. And to the point where they told everybody, if you're still in line when we close at 8 o'clock, you're still going to get to vote. You just have to be in line to vote. Because people were that concerned that they weren't going to get a chance to vote because of how long it was taking to get through the line. All right, we got some calls here. Let me take a quick break here so that we can get that out of the way, and then we'll be back in just a few. All right, back to the phones, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Since you're talking about the elections, mm-hmm. What about the election commissioner, Manny DiBrito, that his contract's expired? What's going to be done about that? How do we know that our votes are going to be legitimate and there's not going to be any issues? Because the mayor hasn't done squat about it.
Well, I don't think Manny's contract status has any effect on whether or not your votes will be legitimate. Your votes will be fine. I have confidence in that.
Well, it just comes to show you that the mayor, last time there was an election, there was a lot of, you would call the house on a recording and get out and vote and your vote counts and democracy and all this other jazz. But he has done absolutely squat to take care of this issue. That's a black eye on the city. And the mayor comes on every week, and he never talks about that. Why isn't he doing something about him? It's like Harry Truman says, the buck stops on my desk.
Well, they did. They were doing something about it. They did an investigation into what happened, and they put into effect some recommendations that came as a result of that.
Well, he's still there, and he shouldn't be there. It's expired, and there's a lot of bucks that are building up on the mayor's desk, and I hope he would do something about it.
All right. Well, we can ask him on Wednesday.
All right, Tim.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
All right, let's take another call here before we got to go to the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad. Not bad. So I was actually looking at some market stuff, kind of tying it into the election. Our heating oil is hovering. It's trading right now. Heating oil is trading right around what it was in 2018. And same thing with oil. Oil is trading right around where it was in 2018. And what I found interesting was, even amid all of the crisis and wars and conflicts in the Middle East, we're still hovering around the same price point as we were when Trump was in office in 2018, when there was nothing going on. And that's a credit to American oil production. Like, not the federal government, not Joe Biden, nothing, but American oil production usually most of our oil production is obviously on private land and state-owned land in the what's called the Permian Basin, which is the western Texas area and New Mexico. And we are pumping so much oil out of the ground right now that any little conflict that would have sent oil to the moon, like $95, $99 a barrel, just by a rumor of a possible conflict, is now where we, American oil production has pretty much stabilized the oil market across the globe, even amid like actual missiles flying through the air from Iran into Israel and then a potential retaliation coming going forward. So I think this is a good thing for American oil production going into the election. I don't think Joe Biden or Donald Trump should even be talking about oil that much as foreign policy and our own domestic immigration policies, because American oil production, American energy production is doing just fine when the government is completely out of the way. So for anybody thinking about and worrying about heating their homes, it's going to be cheaper than it was last year. And it's definitely cheaper. It's just about going to be as cheap as it was back in 2018. So, and that's almost shockingly, this is like 8 years ago. So it's pretty stable. So nobody has to worry about it. I mean, it could get better, but it's a good thing going forward into the winter season.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you for the call.
You got it, Tim.
Have a good day. And I was driving by when I was on the Cape yesterday morning. I was trying to get over the Sagamore Bridge, and there was a backup. So I was like, all right, I'll get off here and I'll go over the Bourne Bridge instead. And I drove by one of the home heating oil companies that's there, and they put the sign out front. And I saw the sign. I forget the exact number, but it was in the threes. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But, you know, how many people are going to take advantage of it now when they're trying to avoid turning the heat on? You know, like when the demand goes up, the price can go up. And so you might see, you know, higher prices later. But I was like, I hope people are taking advantage of it while it's that price. So hopefully you're filling up your tank now and then you're using it conservatively so that you can limit how many tanks you need. I was able to usually get through two tanks a winter. You know, I would need one probably like around November or so, and then I would get another one in February or March on the occasions that I could, you know, afford to get a full tank. Otherwise, and toward the end of my oil time before the landlord switched over to gas, I was doing more like a monthly, like 100-gallon delivery. Because that was easier to plan for. With the prices of what they were, it was just easier to get 100 gallons and pay that than to try to get, you know, whatever my tank held all at once. Which was never the same amount, really. You know, like you try to plan and you're like, oh, I guess it was lower than I thought. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Phil is waiting to do the news, so we'll turn it over to him and be back after that. Take it away, Phil Devitt.
The House Speaker leaps to Trump's defense over comments about political enemies. A weeks-long Boeing strike could be over. And at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's about time.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is insisting former President Trump will not use the military against his political enemies if he's elected. We get more from Scott Carr in Washington.
In a contentious interview on CNN's State of the Union, Johnson responded to recent controversial comments from Trump. Speaking with Fox News last week, Trump had suggested using the military on U.S. soil to tamp down any election chaos by what he called the enemy within, most likely posed, he said, by radical left lunatics. Johnson says what Trump actually meant is that he would deploy security forces to make American cities safer.
What he's talking about is marauding gangs of dangerous, violent people who are destroying public property. Nope.
Johnson says Americans are sick of being afraid on the streets of their cities. And if Trump were elected, he would bring order to the chaos. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says President Biden's exit from the race was not political. This week, Pelosi said her concerns about Biden's reelection bid were not about his campaign, but about him as a candidate. Pelosi added she didn't pressure Biden to drop out of the race, but did say she's never been that impressed with Biden's political operation. Senator Bernie Sanders is trying to woo undecided voters upset with the Biden administration's support for Israel. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the Vermont Independent claimed a Kamala Harris administration would be the best option for those who want the U.S. to help improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza amid the Israel-Hamas war.
So if we are able to elect Harris, I think we're going to have an opportunity to move her on that issue, to make it clear we cannot allow children in Gaza to starve to death.
Sanders' comments come as many Democrats are concerned about large Muslim American populations in critical states such as Michigan, who've long been outspoken about Israeli treatment of Palestinians. Israel's war in Gaza has so far killed at least 42,000 Palestinians. Boeing has reached a tentative deal with its machinists union that could end a weeks-long strike. The new contract would include a 35% wage increase over the next 4 years, higher 401k contributions, guaranteed payouts and a bonus program, and a higher signing bonus. Members of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers will vote to ratify the deal on Wednesday. And the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony is in the books. The event was held Saturday night at the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in Cleveland. This year's Hall of Fame class included Mary J. Blige, Cher, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Dave Matthews Band, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. In addition, Jimmy Buffett, MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield were honored for musical excellence. Big Mama Thornton, Alexis Corner, and John Mayall were recognized for their musical influence. The 5.5-hour event streamed live on Disney+. ABC plans to air a special on the induction ceremony in January.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Patriots are still searching for answers after dropping their sixth in a row. The Pats were topped by the Jacksonville Jaguars 32-16 at Wembley Stadium in London. They host the New York Jets in Week 8. And Banner 18 about to take its rightful place in the rafters at TD Garden. Celtics celebrating their 18th championship for the final time before the new regular season begins Tuesday with the New York Knicks. The Bruins close out their three-game road trip tomorrow night. They're facing the Nashville Predators.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Today will be an uncommonly warm, sun-filled day here on the South Coast. Temperatures topping out in the upper 70s, close to a record high of 81 set in 1920. Winds pick up in the afternoon, an elevated fire risk. Tonight, clearer, lows in the 50s, more sun on Tuesday and Wednesday, with temperatures once again in the 70s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. Get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Up on your own, I wonder where you are, live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so why don't you smile?
And welcome back in. You know, South Coast Health does a lot to help with the community, not only for the great medical care that they provide us, but they also give us great opportunities, such as the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We have the chance to learn about some great people and some great organizations doing great work on the South Coast. And that's why we're happy to be able to feature the South Coast Health Community Spotlight. We are joined now by Jeff Pelletier, the president and CEO of Junior Achievement of Southern Massachusetts. Jeff, tell us a little bit about the Junior Achievement program and how that helps local kids.
Yeah, first off, thank you so much for having us and helping us get the word out. So Junior Achievement, we are a regional nonprofit organization, and our mission is to inspire and prepare young people to succeed. And we do that by focusing on really three core areas. First is financial literacy, how to manage money, how to save money. Second is career readiness, how to think about what career you want to go into, how to get a job, how to keep a job, how to succeed in a job. And the third piece is entrepreneurship education. And if you have that passion and drive, you want to start your own business, how to be an entrepreneur. And so we do those three programs all across the region for students as young as in being in local kindergarten classrooms, all the way through working with 21-year-olds who are at that stage of getting into higher education, getting into their careers. And so kind of we work with the business community, the education community, to really marshal those programs, marshal mentors and community volunteers, just to try to really from A to Z help inspire our local young people to dream big dreams, and then we help them on that path to get there.
So this isn't just your staff that's helping to educate and inspire these kids. You're bringing in people from the business community who have these actual real life stories to share with them.
Exactly. And that's part of kind of the magic of the of our impact and even the work. We're the local chapter of Junior Achievement here in Southern Massachusetts, but Junior Achievement is all across the country and even the globe. And that's part of one of our key pieces of impact is really marshaling the resources of the business community, of the community at large, to come in to volunteer so that our students, our young people, can benefit from the curriculum that we have. But as you just alluded to, it's the real life stories of business people, of leaders, of even college students, of retirees in your community, sharing real life anecdotes, real life stories. Because when you really blend that curriculum with that mentorship component, it is really, I think, when you can maximize that impact and that excitement, that exposure for the young people that we work with.
Yeah, because classroom instruction only goes so far. It's the practicality that really hits things home. You know, I'm somebody that learns by doing kind of thing. And when you've got people who are actually doing it, it can help you learn. Now, a lot of people listening right now might be hearing about Junior Achievement for the first time, but it's been around for a while. And there are people out there in the local business community who came up through the Junior Achievement program.
There are. And one of the best parts of my job is going to different events, maybe local Rotary Club, et cetera. You know, wherever I go, there's always somebody that comes up to me and says, hey, I was a JA kid. I did Junior Achievement. Junior Achievement has been around for over 100 years. It's been active in these communities, New Bedford, Fall River, Taunton, since the late 40s. And so it's been around for a long time. It's evolved over the years. But we also have a tremendous alumni as well. And in each and every year that we keep graduating more students that we're working with, we've got some amazing historical alumni, but also new emerging alumni who are already doing amazing things.
So I'm sure there's a lot of different, you know, factors and characteristics, but who would you think of as kind of the prototypical student that would be a good fit for Junior Achievement?
Yeah, we want to work with any young person, period, but especially young people, we want to help bring about their passion and their dreams. So really, at the core of what we do is trying to work with young people to say, what do you want to do one day? It could be a career, it could be starting your own business, it could be anything, but try to ignite in them that passion to build a life that they want to live, a life that they're excited about, a life that they're passionate about. And then we help them in a practical way of how to get there. Because whether you want to be an astronaut or a stand-up comedian, right, there's practical steps in networking, in different actions that you can take to reach that goal. And so we try to, and we have tools and exercises to do this, to really have young people think about and be thoughtful about what they want to do, and then really kind of work backwards from there. And we help guide them from an educational standpoint, from a career planning standpoint, from a mentorship standpoint of how to get there.
And this might be, you know, kind of anecdotal from my own experience in the Junior Achievement students that I've known, but they come out of being high school students and they are much better prepared for the world around them. You know, they're not getting into debt early, and they're setting themselves up so that these are the kids at 27, 28, 29 years old. They're buying a home, they're buying a car, they're starting a business. They've just got a better handle on financial literacy and how the world works, instead of kind of discovering it once they get out there in the workforce.
Yeah, that's certainly the goal. And to amplify your point, I mean, one of the ways that I describe what we do sometimes is when you talk to adults, it's really saying a lot of the things we teach are the things that we all know as adults that are really critical and stuff that we do every single week or month, but that not necessarily is taught all the time when you're a young person for a myriad of reasons. And so, you know, we try to fill that gap. And so young people are financially literate so that they can make the most of their money and make good money decisions, that they do end up in a job and a career as an entrepreneur doing something that they want to do, and that they've been thoughtful about, hey, these are my skills, these are my interests, you know, I want to pursue this avenue as opposed to, you know, just maybe falling into something because they need a job at some point. And so it's just about trying to help them really design their life and say, you know, what do you want to do? And then go for it. And then let the chips fall where they may. But if you go for it and you put that effort in, you know, there's so much reward, you know, and value there. And that's kind of that mentorship component. And but as we talk about too, with volunteers, you know, they can also see local people from their community who have done certain things, which also gives them that vision of, hey, I could do this, right? I could, if I want to go into finance, I could manage a bank one day. I could work at the radio station, right? I could do all kinds of things. And so that's that key mentorship piece as well.
Yeah, especially when it's not only necessarily people who are in your community, but people who were once in the same seat you were, in the same school, growing up in the same town. It really kind of shows that interconnectivity and shows you that, you know, you don't have to go somewhere else to be a success.
It doesn't. And that's big. It's big for a young person to see, you know, in a very kind of visceral way, to see someone on a path similar to what they want to take, because that's encouraging. Hey, if they went to this high school and they did this, I can do that too. If they're from around here and they did this, I want to do something similar to that. You know, that gives me hope. That gives me inspiration too. And so that's a huge component is getting young people to dream big, but then also to give them the kind of that concrete evidence and inspiration that they say, hey, this isn't just in the clouds. If they did that, I can do that too. And there's even, you know, a path to achieve that goal.
So there are probably parents, grandparents who are listening to this right now and thinking, you know, I know a student who would be perfect fit for this. How do they get their child or grandchild involved in this program?
Yeah, thank you so much. The best way to reach out to us, actually our website, www.jasouthernma.org. We've got a bunch of information on there, a bunch of ways that you can reach out to us and request programmings and request more information. As we always say, so we do a ton of work in local schools, and so schools can reach out for junior achievement programming. Individuals can reach out, and we can look to assist them as best we can as well. And so we always want to hear with people and be helpful however we can.
And the big question people are going to ask, okay, yeah, but how much does it cost to get my kid into this?
Yeah, 100% free, always. 100% free to schools, 100% free to individuals. We have no fees whatsoever for anything that we do. We're blessed to have amazing partners like South Coast Health. We're blessed to have amazing partners in the business community, in the philanthropic community that allow us. Obviously, our work isn't free, right? Staff and materials and office and everything that we have. But everything we do in the community is 100% free.
Well, it sounds like a great program that if you are listening and you want to get a child involved with, I highly recommend it. Like I said, I've known a lot of people who've come up through the program, and we're surrounded by them, and they're all successful. So, Jeff, thank you for coming in and for telling us, and hopefully we've just changed some kids' lives today.
Thank you so much for having us and for helping to share the work we do. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, we are going to take a break now. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and get involved in the discussion. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also, remember, too, we have a new contest up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. This week, we are giving away tickets to see Adam Ray as Dr. Phil live. So you'll get a chance to see actor and comedian Adam Ray portraying Dr. Phil and his hilarious show that you never know who's going to pop up as one of his special guests. You can enter to win now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. It is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. All right, right now we have got to take this break, and we'll be back in a few moments. All right, welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I don't know if you talked about that babbling fool said about Arnold Palmer, the Saturday or something like that.
Yeah, no, I haven't addressed it.
That's, you know, because I was a big fan of Arnie, and I thought that was the most stupidest thing for a man running for president to do. I don't know what you think about that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, just to put it in a way that we can say on the radio, he told a very lewd story about Arnold Palmer's golf club.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you could put it. I mean, I was a favorite of him when he was alive. I even watched him in Hawaii. He signed the hat that I have and everything else in the senior skins game that they used to play, you know, and that was... That was very, very, and this guy is, I think he's losing his marbles. He has to be.
Well,
Well, and
you know what I mean?
He gets in front of those crowds and it's just, you know, riffing and coming up with whatever comes into his head. And, you know, he's just looking for the applause lines. And so he's going to pull out stories like that. I mean, it's not the first time he's talked about manhood in a speech.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's going the other way. I don't know.
No, come on. No. I think what happens is I think he just doesn't have a filter. And so he's had that story, that experience that he shared with other people before, I'm sure, and thought for some reason it was an appropriate time to share it again. But one of Arnold Palmer's daughters came out with a statement about it. She said, it was a poor choice of approaches to remembering my father, but what are you going to do? So.
I've seen that. It's too bad that, and the two sisters, they really don't talk, so they don't get along. So you didn't hear nothing from the other one, but that's how that works too, so.
Well, I mean, anyway. I guess Arnold Palmer can be remembered for three things now, being an amazing golfer, creating an amazing drink, and now also this. So
that's right. All right. I just wanted to throw that in.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
508-996-0500. Let me take my final break for this hour, and we'll be right back. And welcome back in. We've got about a couple minutes left here before we're going to go into the news. When we come back on the other side of the news, we are going to be joined by Nell Campbell, a.k.a. Little Nell, who played Columbia in both the original stage production and the film of Rocky Horror. So the Rocky Horror show that was on the stage and the Rocky Horror Picture Show that was in the movies. And, of course, now it has become a cult classic with people going to midnight screenings all over the country. And they do what's called shadow casting, where they have performers who are actually reenacting what's going on in the movie on the stage underneath the big screen. And then people in the audience are interacting with everything, shouting things out, throwing things. It's a blast. If you have never been to the Rocky Horror Picture Show in person, and you know, a lot of people have said, you know, I saw the movie. I didn't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why people love it so much. Well, you have to go and experience it live. When you see that, then you'll be like, oh, that's what it's all about. And it's super fun. It's very interactive. Even if you don't know everything you're supposed to say and everything you're supposed to throw, people bring extras. So like, here's some toast. Throw the toast when I throw it. And they'll teach you the kind of things to say. And some of it, you know, is kind of repeated. So you catch on. As things that I can't say on the radio, but, you know, certain names that they call certain characters get repeated each time that they're on screen. So you can kind of jump in the fun after a little while. It doesn't take much to get in on it. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of kind of in jokes. And you feel like you're part of a special community if you're part of the group that knows what to say and what to do at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. So, and it's coming up on Thursday, October 24th at the Strand in Providence. It's the 49th anniversary spectacular tour, and Nell Campbell will be there in attendance.